ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच We understood how Shankara Bhagavatpada explained the Swarupa of the Atma. By explaining the Swarupa of the Atma revealed by the words, using the same words, simultaneously he also negated what Atma is not, by stated what Atma is not by negating what Atma is not. This is what the Shastram does. How does Vedanta Shastram help us arivatti Atma? The Atma being Nirgunaha, absolutely attributeless, formless, abstract, inexplicably subtlest, not an object, not perceptible, not conceivable, not describable. No word can arrive because word itself comes much later. Much later in the sense, word itself is possible only when there is manifestation of knowledge. And before even the manifestation of knowledge, there must be a source of manifestation, the power of manifestation. And what is that? That is what is Atma Brahma. Therefore, such a vastu has to be understood. So what Shastram does, how does Shastram help us understand the reality, which is our own Swarupam, which is the essential nature of everything that is here, every being that is here. That's why Shastram says always reality has to be arrived at, can be arrived at, has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing as the very Swarupam of the I, content of I. There's no way of resolving I sense anywhere other than this abstract reality. This explained very clearly when I also taught. Of course, many times I explained this. Even when we did Brahma Jnanavali Mala in Manjakudi, I think many years ago. And even then, I took it as for Nidhyasam, I explained this. What exactly this I is? This first person singular pronoun I, when it's expressed, it's a word. It's a word. And you know, which is used by every individual to refer to oneself. We understand. But that I, when it's expressed, it's a word. Before expression, it must have been there what? There must be the cognition in the form of a thought. I cognition must be there. Only then a word can come out. In sleep, you do not say, there's no expression, I. Nothing is expressed in sleep. The organ of speech remains non-functional because the power of organ of speech remains resolved. So no speaking possible, no function possible because the power itself remains resolved. Then when the word is not there, and the power is not function, non-functional, what is there? Then there is no cognition also. There's no I cognition. There's no knowledge of the self-existence in terms of I am. There's no I. So that I refers to the consciousness. Am refers to the existence. I am is about consciousness, existence. Chit, sat. Because akara comes first, therefore you say sat chit. I refers to chit. Am refers to sat. So chit, sat alone say sat chit. The sat chit is atma. The consciousness, existence. The consciousness, the abstract formless reality, which is ever of the nature of pure consciousness existence, is implied by the term Atma, the only all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the very content of I. So, this I, when it rises before the word, there must be cognition. The cognition is not there, it is sleep. The cognition is there, it is waking. Waking state of mind. That I, what is this I? Where does this knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? It is I alone. If you understand this I cognition, the source of the manifestation of this I cognition, you understood the source of the manifestation, all the thoughts, the entire mind. If you understood the truth of the entire mind, the source of the manifestations of all thoughts, you understood the truth of the entirety of the cosmos. Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? What is that which is there even when this I cognition is not there? That must be the source of manifestation. If we search for it. So Shastram helps us understand it. Even when this I cognition is not there, what is there alone must be the source of the origination, manifestation of I. This I is just a cognition. The source of that is what? Abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest. And what is it in Swarupa? How do you arrive at it? If it is formless, arrive at only in terms of its nature of knowing, because there is a knower. Knower. The knower of the knower of the ignorance of the self-existence. Knower of the absence of eye cognition. Knower of the absence of eye cognition in deep sleep state. The same knower of the presence of the eye cognition. The knowledge of self-existence in the waking state, same knower. The knower who knows the presence of eye cognition, presence of the knowledge of the existence of the self, the knower of the absence of the eye cognition is distinct from the known, the presence and absence of eye cognitions. Is a knower distinct from the known ignorance and the knowledge? Knowledge of the self-existence is known. Ignorance of the self-existence is also known, which means the knower of the knowledge and ignorance is distinct from the known knowledge and ignorance. That knower does not require any pramanam to know, to illumine the blankness of mind and the waking state of mind. That knower is abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest. And who is the knower? Why does it know? It knows because knowing is this Swarupam. 1008 times I might have told this. Janati iti jnanam. Pujya Swamiji used to love this when he explained this. Janati iti jnanam. That the abstract reality is pure knowledge because it knows. What does it know? Knowing is its Swarupam. Why I'm saying this, repeating this, don't think I'm repeating something purposelessly. It's very important to understand. The reality is arrived at, can be arrived at, has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. Because it is formless, attributeless. There's no other way of arriving at the reality. First, the reality has to be arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing as the truth, swarupam, the content, substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun. And express, it's a word. Before expression, it's just the cognition. You cannot resolve the wave form anywhere else other than the water, the H2O. When you say wave is water, there is cognitive resolution of wave form in its truth. Resolution means what? Seeing the fact that there is no wave other than water. It is water which is there in the form of wave. Which means you see the wave is water means that sentence wave is water is wave is equated to water means what? Wave is resolved in water. Meaning there's no wave is nothing but water. There's no wave other than the water. In the same way, this I cognition. What is this I? I is nothing but abstract, formless reality, the consciousness. Abstract reality, which is ever of the nature of consciousness existence. Satchit is Atma, Hachit is Brahma. For I, you cognitively resolve this I sense in its Swarupam, the truth. Abstract, formless consciousness existence. This is how we arrive at it. And you negate. So this, how does Shastram reveal here? So the words used by the Shastram are that they negate, they say what Atma is not. By negating what Atma is not, they help us arrive at, stumble upon what Atma is. Simultaneously, these words of the Shastram do two things. They negate what Atma is not. They also reveal what Atma is. Only by negating what Atma is. What Atma is not, they reveal what Atma is. This is what we've been seeing. In all these words, verses, we come to this verse. Verse number 21. Let us see the verse number 20 and we come to 21 also. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhut. Tva bhavita vana bhuyah ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranah न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे वेदा विनाशिनम् नित्यम् ययेनमजमव्ययम् कथम् सपुरुषः पार्थ कम् घातयति हन्तिकम्. You understood the connection between these three verses. So Shankara Bhagavatpada presents his commentary in such a way that how Tarkikas present explain the things. We have to present the statement of fact, then you have to give the reason why that is a fact. Then again you have to, because of this reason, this is the fact again. You conclude that, you restate your the same fact as a conclusion. So the Pratignya Vakyam is a presentation of the statement. Then Hetu must be given as a reason why this is the state, this is a fact. And when the reason is given, it becomes explained. Then again you have to conclude that statement of fact. That statement as a statement of fact. This is conclusion. In the same way we see, in one verse itself we can see which is the Pratignya Vakyam, which is a Hetuhu, and which is the final conclusion. In the same way here, in the three verses also we see and say we see here also these three verses. We understand. So we have come to this now, this particular verse. Veda vinashinam nityam yayenamajamauyayam katham sapurushav partha kam ghatayati hantikam. Already other two verses explained how Atma, what is this, what is that reality implied by the term Atma, and how it is Satyam, and being Satyam and everything else being Mithya, how it's absolutely indestructible. Mithya, everything else being Mithya, everything is dependent on that Atma of its very existence. And then to become conscious, to become sentient, to become functional, to even to have the status of being existent, everything else is dependent on that Atma. Such, therefore, Atma is absolutely indestructible. We understood that. So here it is said, the person who understands his Atma Sarupam to be unborn, changeless, timeless, indestructible, etc., how can that person kill? How can that person instigate someone to kill? Or whom does that person kill? And whom does that person instigate to kill? Which means, we understand the actionlessness being the very sarupam of the Atma, which is the content of I. When the person's identity is with this Atma, and how can there be the notion of one's own self being the doer, or how can there be the notion of Atma being the victim of the act of killing, or Atma being the object of action? It is not possible. It is not akshepartha prashnaha. We are going to see that only. We have seen this much last class, correct? Okay. You have to see the bhashan from the beginning. Okay. Veda. The word Veda, the third person singular, present tense verb. What is the exact meaning? What is the exact meaning of that word? Vijanati. Janati or Vijanati. So avinashinam. See, avinashinam is objective case form of avinashi. You must know nashi, vinashi mean the same. That which is subject to destruction is vinashi. Nashaha yasya asti, vinashaha yasya asti saha vinashi nashi. Nakarantaha pullingaha vinashin shabdaha. Thus ditya bhaktav, and second case is vinashinam nashinam. But here atma is what? Avinashi. So whoever understands atma to be indestructible, avinashinam vijanati. What is avinashinam? He explains here. Antyabhava vikara rahitam. Very nice. Avinashi means what? Antyabhava vikara rahitam. Bhava vikaraha means what? Bhava vikaraha means modification happening on the part of anything and every object in the world. There's no object which is not subject to bhava vikaraha, which is not subject to vikara. So bhavaha means an existent thing. An existent thing must be what? Object. Every object is an bhava. Every object in this world being existent is subject to modifications. Therefore, and what is this vinashaha? Destruction. Destruction is not total destruction. The total change. Total destruction. This vinashaha is total change. Not slight, subtle change. Gross change or a big change or total change is what? Vinashaha. And Atma is not subject to any form of change. And what is the total change is? Antya vikaraha. Final. Other modifications are very subtle modifications, which happen still, when the form is still there, the form totally collapses. It's called antya bhava vikaraha. The final change happening on the part of an object is antya bhava vikaraha. And antya bhava vikara rahitaha is atma. Atma is that this abstract, formless reality, consciousness, existence implied by the term Atma. The content of I is devoid of, free from this final total change known as destruction. Therefore, antya bhava vikara rahitaha atma. So whoever understands atma to be devoid of the final total change, antya bhava vikara rahitam atmanam yaha vijanati. That's a person. Okay. Now, next word is what? Nityaha. Nityam is objective case again. Nityam. Nityam means what? Timeless, eternal. Okay. But here we say, understand, viparinama rahitam. See, parinamaha, viparinamaha, metamorphosis. Viparinama rahitam, whoever understands Atma to be free from total change, total modification, the final total modification. Who understands Atma to be free from even the subtle modifications in terms of metamorphosis. Viparinama rahitam. Yaha Veda. Whoever understands the nature of the Atma to be such. Iti sambandha. This is how we understand the connection. Yaha Veda. Yaha is the relative pronoun. So whoever understands Atma to be such which is free from the total final change, modification, and is free from all subtle modifications also, especially which is free from the modification in terms of metamorphosis. Such a person cannot kill anyone, cannot instigate to kill anyone. Okay. Evam yenam purvena mantrena ukta lakshanam. Purvena mantrena ukta lakshanam. So yenam means what? This atma. Yenam is a objective caseam. Yenam is this. This atma. Which atma? The atma whose nature has been discussed already in the previous mantra, previous verse. Purvena mantrena ukta lakshanam atmanam. The atma who is said to be of the nature discussed in the previous mantra, previous verse. What is the ukta lakshanam? The whose nature has been discussed already in the previous verse. What is that nature discussed in the previous verse? Ajam. Who understand the Atma to be unborn. Atma is Ajaha. Atma is unborn. Na jayate Ajaha. Janma rahitam. Already it was explained. Avyayam. Atma is free from birth, devoid of birth. Avyayam. Avyayam means literally changeless. Again, please make note, all these words are an objective case. Whoever understands Atma to be of this nature. Avyayam vijanati, ajam vijanati. So avyayam means what? Apakshayarahitam. Apakshayarahitam. Decay. Who understands Atma to be free from decay. Means the poor understands Atma to be free from all possible modifications happening on the part of the Anatma. Objects. Okay. Such a person. Katham. Katham means what? Kena prakarena. By which means, kena prakarena, by which mode, saha vidwan, that person, that wise person who understands Atma Surupam. See, whoever has clear, doubt-free vision of the nature of the reality as one's own Surupam, such a person is a wise person, saha vidwan, such a wise person, saha vidwan purushaha, such a wise person, adhikritaha. Vidwan purusha adhikritaha. One has really clear vision, such a person. Hanti. Hanti harana kriyam karoti. By what way? By doing what? Kena prakarena. Harana kriyam karoti. Hanti means harana kriyam karoti. Katham va ghatayati. How does she do the act of killing? By which mode does she do the act of killing? Katham va ghatayati. Ghatayati means what? Hantaram prerayati. Prerayati. Prayojayati. Prayojayati. How does he activate another person, another killer, to how does he instigate other person to kill? Katam va ghatayati. Hantaram prayojayati. See, prayungte means he uses himself. Prayojayati, how does he instigate, appoint, activate another killer to do the act of killing? Na kathanchit kaschit hanti. What does it mean? Na kathanchit kaschit hanti. Na kaschit kathanchit hanti. But no way does one kill. By no way. Kathanchit means somehow. Somehow kathanchit. Katha means how. When you add chit, kathanchit is somehow. But na kathanchit kaschit hanti. None kills by any means. None can kill by any means. By no means one can kill. One can do the act of killing, destroying. Na kathanchit kaschit hanti. Na kathanchit kaschit ghatayati. By no means one instigates another person to kill. Na kathanchit. That na comes first to emphasize the impossibility of doing any harm to Atma, causing any pain, any harm to the Atma, any change on the part of the Atma. Na kathanchit kaschit hanti, na kathanchit kaschit ghatayati iti, ubhayatra akshepaha eva artaha. Akshepaha eva artaha means what? Akshepa means only objection alone is conveyed here. Akshepaha eva artaha means objection means what? Is impossible. By no means one can kill. By no means one can instigate another person to kill. Who, if a person really understands what is satyam, what is mithya, what is absolutely changeless, what is ever of the nature of undergoing changes. Mithya is that which is ever of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. Change is the unchangeable nature of the mithya world of objects. And the truth of the world of objects is what? Satyam. And satyam is ever of the nature of changelessness, actionlessness. This is what is the fact. The whoever understands this fact, the nature of the Atma, Satyam, Satyam Brahma, the nature of the Mithya, Jagat. We say Jagat, I mean the entirety of the world of object beings. Whoever understands this fact, such a person, it's impossible for him to kill anyone by any means, to instigate other person to kill also. That impossibility is meant by his expression na. So akshepe eva artaha. It's not actual questions. These questions are presented here. How does he kill? Whom does he kill? How does he instigate to kill? Whom does he instigate to kill? These questions should not be taken as questions. We were not asked, we're not expected to reply to these questions. We are expected to understand the objection. Akshepaarthe prashnaha, natu prashnaarthe prashnaha. These are not, questions are not actually questions. They only reveal the objection. In terms of what? The impossibility of involving oneself in the act of killing or the act of instigating to kill. Prashnartha asambhavat. It is not possible for these questions to be questions. Prashnartha asambhavat. Okay. Hetvartasya cha avikriyatvasya tulyatvat vidushaha sarvakarma pratishedaha eva prakranartha அபிப்ரேதஹ பகவதா, எ வெரி பியூட்டிஃபுல் சென்டென்ஸ். பகவதா அபிப்ரேதஹ அர்த்தஹ கஹ, பிரகரணார்த்தஹ கஹ, வாட் இஸ் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி இன்டெண்டட் பை பகவான், வாட் இஸ் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி கன்வேட் பை பகவான் ஹியர். பகவதா அபிப்ரேதஹ பிரகரணார்த்தஹ, வாட் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி இஸ் தி மீனிங் கன்வேட் இன்டெண்டட் பை பகவான் இன் திஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட். சர்வ கர்ம பிரதிஷேதா, நெகேஷன் ஆஃப் ஆல் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் மோஷன்ஸ், சேஞ்சஸ், ஆக்ஷன்ஸ். சர்வ கர்ம பிரதிஷேதா, மோஷன், மூமெண்ட், ஆக்ஷன், சேஞ்ச், ஓகே, ஆல் தீஸ் ஆர் நாட் தேர் ஃபார் தி ஆத்மா. சர்வகர பிரதிஷேதக மீன்ஸ் இஸ் நெகேஷன் ஆஃப் ஆல் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் சேஞ்சஸ், ஆல் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ். வை? பிகாஸ் இந்த ரீசன் இஸ் கிவன், விதுஷா துல்லியத்வாத், பிகாஸ் தி வைஸ் பர்சன் ஹேஸ் வெரி கிளியர் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆஃப் வாட் changelessness being the nature of the atma. Avikriyatvasya tulyatvat hetvartasya, this is the reason. Okay, what is the hetu? What is hetvartaha? The reason given for saying atma is absolutely free from birth and death. Atma is absolutely indestructible, அஜஹா அஜஹா அவினாஷி நித்யஹா, இஸ் ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் ஆர் யூஸ்ட். ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் ரிவீல் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா. இட் மீன்ஸ் ஆத்மா இஸ் அப்சல்யூட்லி இன்டிஸ்டிக்டபிள். மீன்ஸ் வாட்? த ரீசன் இஸ் ஆத்மா இஸ் எவர் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் சேஞ்ச்லெஸ்னஸ். அண்ட் ஆஸ் திஸ் nature of the atma being changes is very clear for a wise person, all actions are negated on the part of the atma. So atma is free, atma is absolutely indestructible, birthless, because atma is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. This is the actual meaning, this is the nature of the atma conveyed by Bhagavan, intended by Bhagavan in this context. Okay, hetvartasya cha avikriyatvasya tulyatvat vidushah sarva karma pratishedah eva prakaranartah abhipretah bhagavata. So what is the prakaranartha bhagavata vipretaha? Kaha prakaranartha? Sarva karma pratishedaha, negation of all forms of activities. Hantes, not only kill, act of killing, all activities. There is no, atma is never the doer. Atma is never the object of action. Atma transcends all accessories. Atma transcends all accessories. Atma is absolutely free from all karakas, because Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Hantestu akshepaha udaharanarthatvena kathitaha. He says, don't think only act of atma is not object to the act of killing. It doesn't mean only act of killing. But it is only example. The act of killing is given as an example here, because it's a battlefield. And Arjuna has this strong notion that he is the doer, that I'm going to kill all my relatives and all my relatives are going to be killed by me. Means he means what? All my relatives are going to be killed by me means what? He thinks atma is subject to action, Atma is object of action. I'm going to kill means what? Atma is the subject of action. In Arjuna's understanding, Atma is both object of action, object of action. But he doesn't know, he doesn't say Atma. When he says, I am going to kill, he superimposes the doership upon the Atma. When he says, these people are going to be killed, and he superimposes the status of being the object of action upon the Atma. Atma is neither the subject nor the object. Therefore, what he says is, hantestu akshepaha. Hantehetu akshepaha. The objection of the act of killing is only mentioned as an example. Udaharana arthatvena. Udaharana arthatvena katitaha. Hantehe akshepaha. Hantehetu akshepaha. Udaharana arthatvena katitaha. Only as an example, the objection of the act of killing has been mentioned here, has been said here. Actually, sarva karma nished pratishedaha eva prakranartaha bhagavata abhipretaha. What has been intended by Bhagavan is the negation of all forms of actions, not only the act of killing. The act of killing, okay, has been mentioned here only as an example here. Akshepa is not, objection is not only of the act of killing, objection is, it's only an example is given. The objection is for all the actions. Means no action is possible on the part of the Atma. Guess we should not think, oh, only Atma does not kill, Atma does not kill, Atma is not killed. Means what? Only we think of the act of killing. No. Atma is absolutely free from doership, enjoyership. Atma is free from all accessories. Atma is neither the doer nor the object of action also. That is the idea conveyed here. Is it clear? Okay. See, the word hantihi, if you take it, hantihi, not a verb there, okay? It is a noun. Killing. The act of killing is hantihi. Hantehe tu akshepaha means the objection of the act of killing has been mentioned only as an example. Actually, all actions are negated. All actions are negated means what? Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Okay. Vidushaha kam karma kam karma karma sambhavahetu visesham pashyan kam karma asambhavahetu visesham pashyan karmani akshipati bhagavan. Vidushaha kam karma asambhava hetu visesham pashyan karmani akshipati bhagavan katam sa purushaha iti. Okay, here the question is again, Shankara Bhagavatpada states, Bhagavan says in Bhagavad Gita, wise person saha purushaha katam hanti katam ghatayati etc. Bhagavan presents these questions, which means stating a wise person definitely cannot kill, cannot instigate another person to kill. So, கர்ம அசம்பவ ஹேட்டு விசேஷம் கம் கர்ம அசம்பவ ஹேட்டு விசேஷம் பஷ்யன் பகவான் ஆக்ஷிபதி கர்மாணி விதுஷா. சோ இவன் அ வைஸ் பர்சன் இஸ் அப்சல்யூட்லி அ நான் டூவர். ஆத்மா இஸ் நான் டூவர். ஆத்மா இஸ் எவர் ஆஃப் தி ஜெட் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்லெஸ்னஸ். ஃபைன். The wise person whose identity is with Atma, in whose vision I refers to the consciousness. Who is the wise person? The wise person is the one who has a clear vision of the truth. Which means who, in whose vision I refers to the pure consciousness existence. Therefore, in whose vision I am Atma. There is, I am Atma, I am ever of the nature of actionlessness. One who has the understanding, such a person is wise person here, Vidwan. Such a person also is an actionless non-doer. Atma is non-doer. Atma is free from doership. The wise person whose identity is the Atma is also non-doer. The wise person does not kill, does not instigate to kill, means there's no notion on the part of the wise person. I will kill, I'll make another person kill, etc. That notion is not there. Notion is not possible. So here, what is a specific kam karma asambhava hetu visesham bhagavan pashyati? What is that unique reason? What is the unique reason Bhagavan sees on the part of a wise person? Reason for jnani being free from action, free from doership. Karma asambhava hetu viseshaha means what? Bhagavan sees, Bhagavan pashyati. He sees what? A unique reason on the part of a jnani for being free from doership. What is that? What is specific reason Bhagavan sees for a jnani being free from action? Thereby he says that how can he kill, etc. நனு உக்தஹ ஏவ. சோ சக்கராச்சாரி கிவ்ஸ் ஆன்சர். த நனு கம்ஸ் நோ, அஃப்கோர்ஸ் தஸ் பீன் ஆல்ரெடி செட், உக்தஹ ஏவ ஆத்மனஹ அவிக்ரியத்வம். வாட் இஸ் த ரீசன் கிவன் ஹியர்? அவிக்ரியத்வம், சேஞ்ச்லெஸ்னஸ். தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் சேஞ்ச்லெஸ்னஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா has been already given as a hetu reason for Atma being free from doership. Atma being free from all forms of actions, accessories. Avikriyatvam. Sarva karma asambhava karana viseshaha. Sarva karma asambhava karana viseshaha. The specific reason that Atma is absolutely free from all actions. The specific reason for this is, reason is Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness. Avikriyatvam, changelessness is the reason for Atma being free from actions. Because performing an action means one must move. And the mobility, motion implies what? Change. So changelessness. We're going to say, understand one more reason now. Why changelessness? Because motionlessness means what? All pervasiveness. We'll understand that later on. Now he says, avikriyatvam is the reason, hetu. This reason has been already mentioned. Avikriyatvam means what? Changelessness. So, sarva karma asambhava karana viseshaha. The specific reason for Atma being absolutely free from all forms of actions, the impossible. All actions are impossible on the part of the Atma. So, sarva karma asambhava karana viseshaha is what? Avikriyatvam, changelessness, is the specific reason for Atma being free from all forms of actions. Satyam uktaha, yes, it has been already mentioned. Already it has been said. Natu saha karana visheshaha. Of course, it has been said. Satyam uktaha. Of course, it has been said. What has been said? Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness. As Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness, Atma is free from actions, all forms of actions. Atma is absolutely of the nature of actionlessness. This has been already mentioned. Yes, of course it has been mentioned. Satyam uktaha. Natu saha karana viseshaha. This is not the specific reason. Anyatvat vidushaha avikriyatmanaha. The thing is, anyatvat vidushaha atmatvat. See, Atma is other than the wise person. Atma is other than the wise person. And then, Atma is of the nature of changelessness, fine. But Vidwan is other than the Atma. How can we say that Vidwan is of the nature of changelessness? How can you say Vidwan is free from action, doership and enjoyership? Nahi avikriyam sthanam viditavataha karmana sambhavati iti chet. The objection is coming. When the nano comes, immediately objection comes. Avikriyam sthanam viditavataha karmana sambhavati iti chet. So the person who has understood sthanam avikriyam viditavataha, for the person who has known, has understood the unmoving, sthanam is unmoving. The one who has understood the Atma, which is ever of the nature of changelessness, which does not move at all, which is unmoving and which is changeless. Avikriyam sthanam viditavataha karma na sambhavati iti na. Atma is of the nature of changelessness, fine. Atma does not move. Atma is unmoving. Sthanuhu. Atma is avikriya, fine. Therefore, Atma is free from doership. That's fine. But the person who has understood this Atma, how can we say there's no action for a jnani? That is not there. That is not there, isn't it? Atma is unmoving. Atma is thanuhu. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. And therefore, Atma is free from action. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is free from actions. We can understand. But the person who knows that Atma, which is of that nature, how can we say that that person is, for him there is no karma. How can we say Jnani does not have karma? Atma has no karma. We understand Atma is free from doership and jarship. Atma transcends all karakas. We understand. Because Atma is a changelessness. Atma is avikriyaha, changeless. Atma is tanuhu, unmoving. But the person, Jnani, who has understood Atma, the changeless Atma, unmoving Atma, that there's no action on the part of a Jnani. That is not, how can we say that? How can we say Jnani is non-doer? So, sthanam avikriyam viditavataha karma na sambhavati iti na iti chet. So, Jnani, we can't say Jnani is free from doership, Jnani is from enjoyership. How can we say that? This is where the problem comes. Shankaracharya gives the answer. What is the answer? Na. Jnani also is, Jnani is free from doership and enjoyership. A vidwan is free from doership and enjoyership. Why? Even if vidwan is doing some actions, still he is non-doer. A wise person, in spite of being physically active, mentally active, orally active, still he is a non-doer. He has no doership and enjoyership. He is free from all actions. Why? Vidushaha atmatvat. So, vidushaha atmatvat. Because Vidwan has the status of being the very self. Vidushaha atmatvat. Atmatvat means what? Vidwan is atmavan. Vidwan is atmavan. Atmavan purushaha. What does it mean? The wise person who has discovered the truth, discovered atma as one's own surupam, thereby has resolved his identity with atma. Resolved his essence in the atma. For whom Atma is the meaning of the word I, not the body, mind, and complex. For him, there is no doership and enjoyership. For him, there is no karma. A Jnani whose identity is with Atma, a Jnani for whom I means Atma, Atma is the cell. All pervasive reality is the meaning of the word I. Pachya Jnani is also free from all forms of actions. Because his identity is not with Anatma. So next answer is given. Vidushaha atmatvat vidushaha api karmana sambhavati. Because of his identity with the Atma, wise person also is free from actions. There is no action in the part of the wise person. Na dehadi sanghatasya vidvatta. Dehadi sanghatasya vidvatta. Dehadi sanghatasya. Whereas the wisdom, vidvatta means vidvatta, the noun form, okay? Vidvatta means there is no status of being a wise person, being of the wise. For the one who has identity with the body, mind, sense complex. There's no status of being the wise for a person who has identity with the body, mind, sense complex. The person whose identity is Atma, who is Atmavan, only we say, only that Jnani is free from actions, all forms of actions. So this, the Purapakshi's question is, yes, we understood, very well understood, Atma is of nature of changelessness, therefore Atma is free from all forms of actions. That we understood. But how can you say a jnani who has understood such Atma is also free from actions? Avikriyam, avikriyam sthanam viditavataha karma na sambhavati iti katham. Even jnani also is free from actions. That doesn't happen. Jnani has actions. For him, he gives the reason is what? Anyatvat vidushaha. Atma is other than the Atma. Atma is different from the jnani. That is his argument. But Shankara Bhagavatpada says, no, no. For him, Atma is not other than the self. Atma for a jnani is the very self. Atma is the very self of a jnani. His identity is with the Atma. He is Atma one. Therefore, jnani is also free from doership, free from all actions. And again, the status of being the wise is not for the person who has identity with body, mind, sense complex. So who has vidvatta? Who has the status of being the wise? The status of being the wise is only for the person whose identity is with Atma. Shifting the identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex to Atma is not an easy joke. It's not simply, it's a cognitive shift. It has to happen only after having a very clear, distinguished vision of the Swarupam. Therefore, jnani is also free from doership and enjoyership, free from all forms of actions. Ataha pariseshyat. Pariseshyat means parisesha-nyayena. See, Atma is of, what is parisesha-nyaya? Let me tell you here. The all-pervasive, abstract, formless reality obtaining as the content of I is free from all actions. And a jnani's identity is with Atma. For a jnani, I means Atma. Therefore, jnani is free from actions. It's called parisesan nyaya. Okay? A is equal to B, B is equal to C, and therefore A is equal to C. Atma is actionless, jnani is Atma, therefore jnani is free from, jnani is also actionless. So, ataha, therefore, pariseshyat, asamhataha Atma vidvan avikriyaha iti tasya vidushaha karma asambhavate akshepaha yuktaha. Therefore, the objection is, objection present by Bhagavan is appropriate. There's nothing wrong in saying jnani also is free from, jnani does not kill anyone by any means. Jnani does not do any action by any means. Jnani does not instigate by any means anyone to act. Which means jnani is absolutely free from all forms of actions. Jnani is free from doership and enjoyership. Jnani is free from all. Jnani also transcends all karakas. Asamhataha Atma. Asamhataha Atma means what? Atma which is not identified with body, mind, sense complex. Jnani, in whose vision Atma is not mixed with Anatma. Atma which is distinct from Jnani, in whose vision Atma is distinct from the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Such a person, such a Jnani, avikriyaha, he is also free from what? He is also not objective. He is also free from all forms of modifications. A Jnani is free from all modifications. Vidwan avikriyaha. Iti tasya vidushaha karma asambhavat. Therefore what? If for such a wise person, it's impossible to do any action. Means what? To do, to have any doership. Karma asambhavat. It is not possible to have doership. Such a jnani cannot have doership. Cannot have any actions. Therefore, the Bhagavan's objection, how can a wise person who understood the Atma to be unborn, to be indestructible, to be timeless, to be eternal, to be free from all forms of modifications. Such a wise person who understood Atma to be of such nature, how can he kill anyone? How can he instigate anyone to kill? Whom does he kill? Whom does he instigate to kill? Such that objection is appropriate. Objection is for what? To state that Jnani cannot kill anyone, cannot instigate to kill anyone, cannot kill at all. By no means Jnani can kill, by no means Jnani can instigate to kill, which means for him, Atma is the self. Therefore, Bhagavan's objection is appropriate. Okay, we'll see the rest tomorrow. It's all right? Just time quickly passed. Have you understood the question here? Is it possible to understand? Have you understood it very well? Yeah. Tomorrow when I complete this bhashyam, then I summarize so it will become much clearer for you. Okay? If you have any questions or doubts, please text me. See, sometimes in Sanskritam, the nouns are used. And when the reason is given, they always use the fifth case. Vidushaha karma asambhavat. As it is impossible for a jnani to have any karma. Objection is appropriate. The hetu given was for the Atma. You don't give any hetu reason for jnani being free from actions. That's what the question, Purupakshi's answer. So Bhagavan says what? There's no need to give any other reason. Because our very Atma is jnani's. The reality is jnani's Atma. Jnani's self. Therefore jnani is free from all actions. So we'll continue tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम।